Help us to commence this morning with hymn 1134. Come, gracious Spirit, heavenly Dove, with light and comfort from above, our waking souls set free, be Thou our guardian, Thou our guide, our every thought and step preside, and draw us after Thee. 1134.
Thank you. Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from the Book of Psalms, Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass, and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression, and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord, and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty, most holy, ever-living God, who dwelleth in heaven, the earth thy footstool, we will bow before thy all-seeing eye, and before thy knowledge. We come into thy house this day, or we would plead that grace that is with thee. Have we not proven, Lord, oh, what a mercy to prove the goodness of the Lord, who is beyond all description, but oh, there might be a continuing in these things. Thou art ever merciful, ever gracious, long-suffering, And we come into thy house, Lord, and it behoves us to be reverent and sober. But we don't want just an outward adornance of the adornment of those things which we think please thee. We need a broken and a contrite heart, and we can't give it ourselves. Oh, what a mercy if we come here weeping, praying. O Lord, only grace will make it so. May we come in exercise of soul, may we come confessing our sins. O Lord, we can never know anything about our sins except by a natural conscience until thou dost wound us for it. O dear Lord, we come, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, one almighty God of love, we bow before thee now, and we come pleading grace, ask thy presence and thy blessing to be in thy house this day, and that we may by faith, by the Holy Ghost, behold the Lamb of God as my Redeemer and my Lord. May we hear from thee concerning thy will, concerning our salvation, concerning thy love to reach us. Oh, we bow before thee, Lord, and pray to be delivered from all hypocritical formality and custom. Lord, how have we come? We're dying mortals. We come confessing our sins. That is the way to come, Lord. And thou knowest those here who have come as sinners looking to the fountain, looking to the righteousness amazingly provided, the washing and the cleansing and the new heart given. Oh dear Lord, we want a newness of life. We pray for its renewing, a new life renewed, a healing of all our backslidings, and a rising up, Lord, from, Lord, all our complacency, that we may hear the voice of God, and that our hearts may gladly take up that cross and follow thee. Oh, to know Christ's cross. O Lord, that is the way of salvation. That our will may be crucified, that our sins may be buried with thee, never to be seen or charged against us again. O Lord, we pray these rich blessings from on high, that the word of God, Lord, may be in us, a well of water springing up unto eternal life, and that we may know the sacred, blessed influence and fruit of that good seed put into our hearts. So we come as we are, Lord, and we're ashamed to come as we are. We're not pleased. We're ashamed to come as we are, but we can't come in any other way. And we come pleading thy precious blood, Lord, the life given as a ransom. Save him from going down into the pit, for I found a ransom. O Lord, thou knowest the joy, or the opening of the gate of heaven, when that ransom is found. Dear Lord, do lead us to it. Beggars, poor, dark, wretched, needy. Dear Lord, we're talking and praying unto Thee about the power of sin and the dominion of sin to be broken. Lord, we're not praying about our depressive disposition or circumstances. Dear Lord, we want realities, and we can only live upon Thy merit and Thy name. And we're beggars, beggars. Oh, for the blood of sprinkling. Dear Lord, Thy dying. May we every day, and Thou knowest I mean what I say, every day be mindful, prayerful, tender, exercised, weeping concerning our own case as we behold Thy death, Thy dying. May ever be in view, and may we be brought to all humility and honesty and a contrite, tender, transparent spirit before Thy face. But all we would desire to behold the Lamb of God. Oh, the glory of the Father. Christ, the glory of the Father. And the glory of heaven in salvation. In the bosom of the Father. O Holy Father. We stand in awe at Thy grace toward us, the depth of that grace. Oh, that Thou hast brought us to need Him, Thy Son, and brought us to Him in time past, and causing us to need Him now and live upon Him. Blessed Son of God, we have to say, Thou hast been good, but we have been evil. And how can we forget the times without number? Yet we have. O turn us again, O God of hosts, cause Thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Blessed Spirit, dwell within us and bring us to the fountain and the washing. Now, Lord, we pray for this house of prayer. Bless Thy servants that come among them. Bless the word of the gospel. Bless those that bear office. Be with them and help them. And give them that grace to stand in times of need. Remember the church. Keep them in unity and in Thy fear. Remember the congregation. Lord, we know not, but no doubt some are very worldly. And we pray that they may see their danger and may cover themselves in all humility before Thy feet and weep at the throne of grace. Remember Zion, bless Thy servants on the walls of Zion. Remember Thy servants, the black boys and Horam this day. Grant them, thus saith the Lord. Remember each of Thy servants, the editors of our denominational magazine, secretaries of our charitable societies. Bless them in their labours. Return in power in the ministry. The Lord, remember all in affliction, pain, suffering. Grant healing mercies. Grant restoring mercies. Remember all in senior years near the end of the journey. O Lord, appear. O Lord, appear. Prepare eternities before us, Thou the God of eternity. And awaken us of our dead sleep. Remember young people going forth in life, in business, study, bless, provide for them, but bring them to fear thy name and to know thee. Help them in all circumstances, difficulties, sorrows. Grant them those blessings of success. But Lord, do bless their souls. Remember the Sunday school here. Strengthen the teachers to continue. Bless the dear children, the sweet babes. May they be heirs of glory. Remember widows, widowers, those who plough lonely furrow. Those in distress, feel thus pass them by. Those in great need, those in great loneliness, in great sorrow. Remember us in the nation, have mercy on England. Undertake for us in the coming referendum. Overrule, and or may we not be swallowed up with other nations. We earnestly pray. We're being sold. Our leaders are selling us to foreign business every hour. Have mercy on us, Lord, and we have sinned as a nation. Bring us to repentance. Open the eyes of our leaders. Raise up deliverance. Lengthen out our Protestant heritage, religious, civil liberties, freedom to worship. Have mercy on our Queen and spare her to us, we pray, for seasons yet, if it can be thy will. Now, Lord, we thank thee for all thy mercies, thy goodness, thy wonders to us, the throne of grace, thy word, the doors of Zion open, 1,000 mercies, protection, preservation. For those spiritual mercies, Lord, from heavenly places in Christ Jesus. O Son of David, Son of God, my Lord, my Saviour, thou art the glory, thou art the glory. Thy precious blood, how I need it, how I long to feel the application again. Long to behold the Lamb of God. Thou knowest everyone in this chapel who longs to behold the Lamb of God and weeps. Dear Lord, do appear. We thank thee for all thy mercies, Lord. Thy dying, thy resurrection, thy grace, thy care. And that which thou hast wrought, eternal hope, eternal life, forever. The word of thy gospel as living bread. Now, Lord, what wait we for? Our hope is in thee. Bless the singing of thy worthy praise. We bow before thee, Lord. Holy Spirit, be due in our midst. Thou knowest every case, every hurt, every need, every sorrow, every difficulty, every groan. Lord, thou knowest a lot more than this. But we bow before thee. May we be among those who weep at thy feet. It's how I am, not others. How am I found this day? Oh, dear Lord. Oh, we covet a broken and a contrite heart. They would never despise. Send down the showers of heaven. We're helpless. Come. Come, Holy Spirit, bid you. Great God of heaven, I plead the name of thine only begotten Son. Lord Jesus, I plead thy name before the throne. Come. Come into our midst. Come. Come with thy loving kindness and thy blessing forever. Come with thy great salvation. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come quickly, come. Come. Amen.
Amen.
Hymn 328. Afflicted saint, to Christ draw near, thy Saviour's gracious promise hear. His faithful word declares to thee that as thy days, thy strength shall be. 328.
Thank you.
complete dependence upon the Lord for needed help, I will draw your attention to the Gospel according to John, chapter 16 and verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. The Gospel according to John, chapter 16, verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. I felt settled, if you like, on two words today. One was concerning Hezekiah and the very long Passover in 2 Chronicles as recorded, and the uncleanness of those that came, and so forth, and how Hezekiah prayed, and how the Lord forgave them and accepted them, and so forth. It was a wonderful principle, grace reigning. The other was in Ezekiel, marking well the Lord's ways. But at 4:15 this morning, this word I've just named dropped in quite clearly to come with today here. And so we've come with much prayer. I have spoken from this word once or twice in the last couple of years, here and there. But we venture. It dropped in. And I somehow knew that the Lord was making it known that we must venture with this. Two things. There is the one who speaks, and may we consider his person, who he is, his glory and his grace. A feeding on Christ, a feeding on him. The other is who he speaks to, disciples, those whom he loves, those whom he has come to save, those who are now with him in heaven. And it's, first of all, it's the disciples, let us consider, because we, if we will get to glory, are disciples. A disciple, a follower. Does it bother you whether you're a disciple? Or are you, it doesn't, well, you one day you hope you will be. Eternity is before us. And once entered into that place, there is no coming out. While we live on this earth, you hope you'll get through trouble and out of trouble. You hope you'll live to see a better day. But if eternity is lost forever, it is lost forever. And men cannot accept that. Nature won't accept it. We may, because we're good strict Baptists, and we may say, well, I believe that. But have you ever felt it? Do you know what it is to be lost? A disciple, you know, dear friend, if you're not lost, you won't need to be saved. You may sit here and say, well, I want to be saved. Well, so does everyone down the street. If they believe there was a God, we'd all want that. We all believe in God. We all want to be saved. But have you been called? Have you been called by Christ as a disciple? That's the point. He's speaking to his dear 11 or 12 here, or 11 here. The ones who are being called to follow him and take up his cross, a disciple. To take up the Lord's cross. The Lord's cross. Wherein not just Christ crucified, but we crucified with him. To our own will and our own life and our own way, that we may know his life and his will and his way and follow him. Great mercy, isn't it? You know, if you have been, or you are, may the Lord open up, may the Spirit open up the blessedness of your state. And it'll end, and you'll get on your knees and bless him. You'll stand and praise him. Or to have been called and quickened as a wonderful, you are the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, made alive to your need. Great mercy to be a disciple, not a theory one, not one that knows all about religion and what you've got to be doing and what someone else has got to be doing. If you get all that, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is he your hope? That personal call. The fishermen. You don't read a lot about what Jesus said. It was the awakening of grace in their heart. Follow me. Grace was awake. You know, you read the account and you can see and you think, well, this is an amazing thing. But look what they did. They followed him. What good men. There was power in their heart. They followed him. They left their business. Think about it. What have you left behind to follow him? Of course, there was a purpose. They were to preach the gospel. But is there not a purpose in all of us, if we're called, that we should show forth his glory and be his witnesses? Are we being prepared for heaven? We're being prepared for eternity. The lost are being prepared to be lost by their wicked deeds. How close it comes. Are we being prepared for glory? A disciple. He speaks to his disciples. Am I among them? You know, dear friends, you may hear much about everyone being poor and needy. Look, we're all poor and needy, all of us. But that's not saving me. That's not saving me. We're all poor and needy. Grace will show you that you are. And then you'll keep quiet. You won't keep on about how poor and needy you are. Because you can't hide there. Would you go and speak about a place where you're exposed? You can't hide on top of a table, can you? We'd humble ourselves. We'd be quiet. We're awakened. We're in need. We're ashamed. Give me a refuge. Give me a sure foundation. Hide me. Save me, Lord. Save me. Save me. Save me. If I said you need saving from religion, I wonder if we would understand, if you'd understand what I mean. I'm not decrying godliness. That's one thing I won't do. But what we want delivering from is a religion in the head. A legality. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. That's a painful place to come to, because it means you're a sinner against God, a sinner against mercy, a sinner against grace. But I want to come back to this, these disciples. What a great mercy to be a disciple, a follower of Christ, a one who needs him. If you read in the Gospels, you will see, you know, they're very dependent on the Lord, ever so dependent. And the Lord saw to it they were. And now he was speaking of going away from them, and that filled their heart with sorrow. Now, what is our sorrow today? What is our sorrow? All men have sorrow. All men have affliction. But dear friend, is your heart in connection with the Son of God in heaven concerning your pathway and your sorrow and your difficulty? Has he laid affliction on you? Has he touched something close to your heart? Has he removed a prop? I'm not being hard. Dear friend, you'll be brought to need the Lord Jesus above everything else in this life and in this world. Sorrow. Sorrow. Now, how does sorrow come? How does sorrow come upon a disciple? Do we know the root cause of sorrow? You know, we can keep covering over something for so long. But if the root isn't dealt with, it's like a tree growing up in a pathway, isn't it? In asphalt. You know, up it comes and you hammer it down. You put a bit of something in there, but it comes up again. And every so many months you go out and you bang it down again, and up it comes again. Until that root is removed. It'll keep growing until that root is removed. The seed of evil, corruption, self-love. The Trinity said, behold, man has become as one of us. Gods, independent, self-important gods, determined. You know, it's a great mercy when he lays affliction upon us and stops us. I don't say that lightly. I don't say that lightly. I have crucified this self that I, but no more but Christ in me may live. Sorrow. It comes from we know this, don't we? Sin. Comes from sin. Haven't I said that lightly? Haven't I said that lightly? Oh, wait a minute. Where does my sorrow come from? My sin. My sin, my wicked heart. The Lord is dealing with it. He's dealing with it. But if he dealt with it as we deserve, you'd have no hope whatsoever. What is your sorrow? Are you led to the fountain? Are you led to him who bore that sin? Now, these disciples' sorrow, I can rightly say, and they haven't discovered it yet, but the principle is applying to them as it would after it had risen, is a discovery of being crucified with him. Now, is that our sorrow? Is that the work? Is it just nature's sorrow? Is it just the Lord's judgments on us, full stop? Or is it the sorrow of the world? Or are we suffering with Christ for our sin? With him in bearing his reproach? With him taking up his cross? Now, we can see in this word, by the context, their sorrow was because he was going to leave them. That shows a union. That shows a oneness. And no doubt they sensed, and the dear Lord, being a real man, a proper man, constituted as a man, a body and soul, sinless, holy, pure, perfect, not just as he was conceived in the womb, but being the Son of God, joined with deity, but as the man, so they sensed he was in sorrow. He was in sorrow. One they loved was in sorrow, and they were sorrow. He began to be sorrowful and afraid. The dear Redeemer. And friend, can I put it this way? When we grieve him, he will let us know it. When we backslide, he will deal with us according to our backslidings. Look at Psalm 107 we read. Look at the various cases there. You may be in this place, they fell down. What a good place to come to. Oh, so painful, dear friends, and I don't like this place. But you know, if the Lord is in it, he wouldn't have it changed or removed. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Dear friend, have we sorrow? Spiritual sorrow, personal sorrow. Is the Lord in it? Is the Lord in it? And are you sorrowing for his grace to be manifest again? To return, return, O holy dove, return. Sweet messenger of rest, I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. Friend, as a living soul that has that desire in his heart continually, brought off self, brought to be nothing, brought to abhors, like Job, yourself in dust and ashes. It's a funny old religion, isn't it? But beloved friends, before God, if the Lord is dealing with you, that is what you'll be desiring, and you will desire, and you will abhor yourself. You may love him. How many in this chapel this morning can say, not my will, Lord, but thine be done? I don't know that I can. I need grace to say that. Do you long for that grace? Do you long for that grace? Not my will, Lord, but thine be done. Easy to say these things. You need grace to do it. And grace will make you a disciple. Only grace. But what if grace passes you by? What if you don't have grace? Great mercy to have grace. But if you've got grace, dear friends, that grace flows from Christ from heaven, and who bore the cross and bore the curse. Sorrow. Are you a disciple in sorrow? Well, the Lord only knows. Friend, now we think of dear King David, we think of Joseph, we think of Jacob. What sorrow they had. Poor dear Jacob, years of it, years of sorrow. Dear David, intense, intense sorrow. The deepest humiliation he could bear to lose his kingdom and be usurped by one he made an idol of. That's the Lord's doing. But dear David wept and he worshipped and he bowed and he said to Abishai concerning Shimei, let him curse. The Lord hath forbidden him. Is the Lord appointed your sorrow? Can you see God's hand? Is the Lord laying you low? Let him curse. God hath bidden him. He's bidden him do it. Bowing. He got to the hill and worshipped. Love. Love to God, because God loved him. Friend, I don't believe David went up weeping up the hill without hope, you know. If I know anything about trouble, I'm thankful the Lord's dealing with me. Do you know the feeling? Do you know the knowledge of it? Thankful the Lord is dealing with me, not letting us go on in our sins. You know, Joseph is a difficult case, isn't he? He behaved so wisely and uprightly. So why did he bear sorrow? Why did the Lord bear this awful sorrow on Joseph? When he was so upright and wise, given grace from heaven, not his natural wisdom. The Lord was with him, we read. The Lord was with him. Well, he was a type of the Redeemer. There was a purpose. That's the thing. Friend, there's a purpose in your sorrow. And there was a purpose in the disciples' sorrow. That's the thing to remember. Not just to remember, but may we discover it. There's a purpose in your sorrow. The purpose in your trial. For your salvation. To receive the love of God. The sweet knowledge of him. There's a purpose in it. It was with Joseph. Being prepared for the highest of offices in the land. Beneath Pharaoh. The next one down from Pharaoh. He had to go through it. Are you being prepared for glory? Maybe you've been prepared for an office in the church. I don't know. But we can make too much of those things, because that hits our pride, you know. No, no. Are we being prepared to follow him to glory? Being prepared for a throne and a crown. Not our own throne, to be round his throne, but with him on the throne, in his heart. Are we being prepared? Well, there is the trial that you're discovering, like Joseph. There is a reason. But you know, it's not all gloominess and darkness, is it? It's not all depressing. The Lord was with Joseph. Sometimes we don't feel the Lord to be with us. But there is an evidence that he is, because the tender fear of God is in the heart, and the heart is broken. But there are times you do know the Lord is with you, because he doesn't leave you without comfort. He does manifest himself. Is there not love flowing? You know, the good shepherd, a natural shepherd can't do this, can he? Naturally speaking. But a good shepherd can see his sheep all the time, and his eyes never off them. His eyes never off them. A natural shepherd, he desires to, but of course he can't. He might be behind a wall or a bush or over the brow of the hill. He's limited. Oh, the good shepherd. Friend, if you're a disciple, if you're a sheep, the Lord's eye is never off you. Never off you. His heart is always toward you. You're in his heart. Well, is there not a purpose in this sorrow, in this suffering? But you know, you can't pretend it, can you? Otherwise, sorrow is sorrow, and you now therefore have sorrow. But another purpose is to make that cross very precious to us. Now, I can only speak to some, because unless we are brought to know our sinnership, we would shun the cross. If I said to you this, my flesh is still trying to get to heaven without the cross, do Do you understand what I mean? And the Lord knows what I mean. Oh, I'd love, you know, you can't preach effectually without bearing the cross of Christ, the reproach of the cross. It's impossible. We can stand up and talk about salvation if you wish, but it's bearing the reproach of Christ. So, it's a wonderful thing not to be without the cross. I'm not being hard. Far from it. But it's a great mercy, dear friend, to realise the Lord's will for you is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And to know that this God of love knows what you need. He may be withholding something very special to you, or something you greatly need, and your heart is absolutely broken, but he's breaking it more until Jesus becomes all in all. And you, I believe you will prove when Christ, as grace is given, because it's not natural, as grace is given, Christ becomes your all and in all, so he will supply all your need, all the extras, all the comforts. But he must be. He must be first. He must be first. This is the glory of the cross. And if Christ is first, it means self isn't. You can't love yourself and the Lord. If you love your own soul, you'd yield it up. You'd yield it up. Or may I be able to do so? I'm not lecturing. I need this myself. I know what I'm speaking of. May I have the grace given me to yield everything up to him and trust him and know him. May I. That's my desire. But I'm sorry, you see, because there's a flesh. There's your own will still working. I've still got my own will. I've still got my flesh. I don't mean my bodily flesh, although that's part of it, but a religious flesh. A religious flesh. A religious wisdom. We stand as gods in religion sometimes, you know. Or to be a child. Or to be a child. You know, driving up, I was thinking about sheep and goats and how the Lord separated sheep and goats. You know, and you look at them. Goats go all over the place. Well, so do sheep, I know. But they're completely different in a sense. There are similarities. But why did he speak of sheep? So timid. So timid. Goats aren't as timid, are they? So timid, so scared, so helpless. Look at their wool, gets all sorts of flies in and all sorts of things, and it gets on its back and it can't get up, poor thing. It needs the good shepherd. It needs the good shepherd. Are you a child? Are you a sheep? When I was young, I'm not trying to tell funny tales, but you know, in my heart, I despised God's people, even though I went to chapel at that time. And there was a hymn being sung at Maidstone, "We Are Silly Sheep." And I looked round and I said, "Yes, you are. Yes, you are." You could say that again. What a mercy to become one. Dependent. Helpless in self. Poor. Needy. Low in your own esteem, looking for the sweet pasture, dependent on the good shepherd's care. Are you a disciple? Are you a sheep? A purpose in the sorrow, Christ and him crucified. Friend, it's not bearing suffering, saying, oh, I've taken up my cross. The appeal is, oh, yeah, I've taken up the cross. I'm bound to have suffering. Friend, that's absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible. It's Christ and him crucified, you being crucified with him. That's what Paul speaks of. With Christ. With Christ. There's the secret, there's the glory. Love, his love. Now this sorrow has a purpose, the sorrow of a disciple. Well, dear friends, you now therefore have sorrow, and I don't know why I've got this text today. It wasn't intended. Well, I don't intend to preach anything, but I thought I'd been led to that portion in Chronicles for this morning, and mark well his way for tonight. But it doesn't seem so at the moment. You now therefore have sorrow. Dear friend, oh, to see the Lord's hand in it. Friend, it's endless sorrow if you don't see the Lord's hand in it. To see the Lord's hand in it. You laid affliction on our loins. The Lord's hand. Is there not a cause? Now there was a cause why David went to fight Goliath. There was a cause, there was a reason. And have you discovered a disciple that if there's every reason in every day of his life, a glorious eternal plan. I don't want to be lofty. I don't want to be lofty. We're down here, friend. We're not up there. We're down on the earth, of the earth earthy. You only discover that in the Lord's dealings. You don't get overviews of religion or the Lord's dealings with you. It's discovering grace. And sometimes it's looking back and sometimes it's the present. But it comes from above. There's a purpose. In your sorrow and a pathway, you now therefore have sorrow. What is your sorrow this morning? Is the Lord in it? Can you see the Lord's hand in it? If you can't see the Lord's hand in it, dear friend, it doesn't mean it's not. And his hand will be in it if he's bringing you down to his feet and laying you low and crying to him like a child. Look, a child needs comfort at times and strength. If he's very ill or he's injured himself badly, he wants mum or dad to give him a bit of security and so forth. It's natural. Pretty hard if it's not. Pretty hard parents if they're beyond all natural affection and care. Not the good shepherd. You know, God is not a hard God. You know, there's such a legal spirit enters sometimes into places and people, a hardness, and they think you're weak and wobbly if you're kind and loving and care about people. I can only speak as the Lord has cared for me. Very, friend, I know his wrath. I know his displeasure and it's unbearable. But I know his kindness. And I know his love, and I know his tenderness. I know his watchfulness. I know his goodness. Friend, and it's eternal. It's forever. It's forever. If the Lord is leading you, and touching you, and helping you, and dealing with you, and laying you low, it's all in love forever, forever. For your instruction, for your glory, for your mercy. That you may know the real love of God in Christ Jesus. He put it in his Son to bring to his people. It's God's love, an appointed love, an eternal love, an electing love. But it runs through Christ. as your good shepherd, you may know God's love in him and receive it from him. The glory of the cross, the glory of the cross, Christ and him crucified. You know, we can't, I go back to what I said, I'm wandering around. Not my will, but thine be done. Lord, not one of us can say that except Christ be made very precious to our heart. As my eternal hope, my heavenly hope. Isn't that what we want to live for? You know, you can't. Well, we can, because we're carnal and worldly and sold under sin and got a lot of religious flesh. But, you know, how can you truly desire Christ to be all in all and you've got everything else you need? They don't go together, friend. Jesus said clearly, you cannot serve God and mammon. This is God's word. You cannot serve God and mammon. This is Christ's word. You cannot serve God and riches. In other words, everything you desire, everything you got, you can't. Why does the Lord withhold? Because he knows that you would make an idol of all this, that, and the other that is around you. Well, I've spent long enough on this line. Now the Lord knows you've got this sorrow. Go to him. Go to him. He's a merciful, gracious, faithful high priest. Pathway sorrow, business sorrow, home sorrow, bodily sorrow, soul sorrow, soul sorrow. And he knows his disciples have sorrow because he's telling them. They're discovering that he does know. What a mercy if the Lord speaks in such a way that you discover he knows where you are. And he does. He comes where you are. Oh, I would just say this to you, you know. The Lord has entered into all the affliction and trial and path of his people. There's a blessed word in Isaiah, I often quote it. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. What a discovery. If your life is redeemed, he redeemed your whole life. And if he's borne your sins, he's borne all your sins. And if you're in judgment and you're his, he's borne all that judgment. And the glory is that you're discovering how bad your sin was because Christ suffered for it. Tremendous things, aren't they? May we know more about it. Because it's true. If we're his and we're made white and clean and all our sins are put away, they were put away in Christ, in his death and in his suffering. What a mercy. Put away forever. And he bore the curse due to us. And you're discovering his love. His love in your sorrow. His love in your trial. His love in your affliction. His love in your loss. His love in the hiding of his face. To what? We but taste the cup. You will indeed drink of the cup and so forth. He said to his John and James's mother, we may indeed taste the cup, but we don't drink it up, you know. You'll be lost to drink it up. What a discovery. And the Lord knows all about it. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. He was afflicted. You know, perhaps there's some here, young people here, who wonder how, in that short suffering on the cross, how could he have entered into my case and everyone else's case? He is the Son of God. He was the Son of Man, was the Son of David, but he's also the Son of God. And by his divine nature, infinite in every respect, in one split second of time created, he is an all-knowing, almighty, all-powerful God. And he entered in those hours on the cross as the Son of God, in his flesh, in his soul, in his body, in his soul, because his divine nature could not suffer, but being united, the suffering had an infinite dimension on it, because he was united in union with deity. He was a righteous man, a real man. But he answered justice, answered for sin. What a suffering. What a suffering. He that knew no sin, yet willingly suffered in the pathway, sorrow, himself. And then, bearing our reproach. Oh, has the Lord Jesus borne my reproach? Has he borne my sins? How it breaks us down, how it makes us tender, how it makes us like a little child. You pray like a little simpleton, a little simple child. The gentleness of Christ, the tenderness of his heart. But the great captain of our salvation, the spiritual armour on a little broken heart. See, it's a friend, it looks ridiculous. You put the armour on a little child, it is all out of place, isn't it? No, no. Spiritually, this is spiritual armour. The spiritual warfare. Looking to the Lord to fight everything. You know, Christ committed his cause to his Father. He answered them, not a word thou hast said. Trusted. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him. Let him come down from the cross. If it be the Son. He trusted in God, he said. He was trusting in God. And he had to fall under his Father's wrath for our sin. And no wonder. And he knew his Father could not look on him as the sin was imputed to him. But love caused him to go through. Well, what we want, dear friends, in this text is a drop of love, don't we? Sweet love from heaven. And only the Holy Ghost can do it, friend, by taking thought. Think of that word he spoke naturally. By taking thought, can you add one cubit to your stature? Now look at it spiritually. You can't. You cannot expand your spirit in any way whatsoever except by the Holy Ghost, except in grace. And you have to wait for grace and plead for grace and pour out your soul longing for grace. But grace reigns. Grace reigns. He will visit. Jacob proved God's faithfulness and love to him in a long waiting time. Long, long hidings of God's face from him. And so do his dear people now. You'll yet prove it. The Lord could not forsake Jacob or his seed, his spiritual seed. You now therefore have sorrow. May this word this morning, just the word, I'm not talking about the sermon, forget that. It's the word, friend, it's the word of God. May you discover that he knows that you have sorrow. Because he tells them. He tells them. They do have sorrow, but he tells them. He tells them, he lets them know, he knows. Friend, and that will bring you a bit of comfort as well. What a wonderful thing to discover the Lord knows your case. Because he doesn't just know, he's undertaking. And if you've been called as a disciple, follow me, dear friend, that will be a comfort to your soul. Well, you now therefore have sorrow. I'll leave this first part now. You now therefore have sorrow for what goes on. It just seems to speak in a future time. Not long. It wasn't long. It wasn't long. It was 3 days. Wasn't long. Wasn't long. You now therefore have sorrow. But, all that but, you know, may your soul rise up and weep at the but and wait. Wait for him to come back. Trust him. Trust him as God, all-knowing, all-seeing. Trust him unchangeable, immutable. Trust him. And you now therefore have sorrow, but.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £680, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Wheatley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Funnell next Lord's Day, who also hopes to administer the Lord's Supper. And our friends at Oakington hold a TBS meeting on Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 419. Just are thy ways and true thy word, great rock of my secure abode. Who is a God beside the Lord, or where's a refuge like our God? 419.
Thank you.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now, forever. Amen.